reading that's been chosen for this morning is found in Matthew chapter 28 and beginning at verse 16 to the end of the chapter, entitled The Great Commission, and it can be found either on behind me or on page 1000 in the Pew Bible. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." May the Lord add his blessing to the word. Amen.
Thank you, David. Good to share a few minutes with David. I was telling the deacons beforehand, David and Owen were ones who interviewed me for church membership here. Many years ago, you came round to Mansbridge on your bike, David. So it's all his fault that I became a member here. And it's good to share with him. We're going to turn to prayer now, and I want us to spend a few minutes. Thank you. Do be seated. Do we have the PowerPoint for the sermon? Yeah. There it is. Well, that's the first part, anyway. Good to be here and share, and considering Will and I hadn't planned this together, I think the subject's fitting well. And an apology, when I was invited to come and preach, I was given Matthew 28, the whole of the chapter, and you'll notice that I've chosen to concentrate on one part, and given the length of my sermon notes, you'll be glad that I've only chosen those last few verses. I was telling David before the service that my first talk here many years ago, I doubt Chris will remember it, but it was in that room at Christian Endeavour, and it lasted 4 minutes. We're going to be slightly longer today, but not too much, I hope. The Gospel of Matthew ends with Jesus meeting his apostles up in Galilee. He'd foretold that in Matthew 26, 31 to 32. Jesus told them, "This very night you'll fall away on account of me. For it's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I'll go ahead of you into Galilee." Many of you have visited the Holy Land. Galilee's the place to be, I think, anyway. Jerusalem did my head in. It was too busy. But up in Galilee, peaceful and quiet. So Jesus says, we'll meet up there after I've risen from the dead. It was announced by the angels after the resurrection. Remember their words? Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So this is a meeting that's been arranged. It must have been one that was filled with mixed emotions. Notice that it says, seeing Jesus, they worshipped him. Yet some doubted. It's thought in the commentaries that it's unlikely that that meant the apostles, but I think it could have done. This may have been the occasion, according to one commentator, when over 500 people saw Jesus. So it may not have just been the apostles there, but I'll leave you to decide what you feel on that. The meeting in which Jesus gives his disciples a command to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them. And it ends with that lovely promise, which to me is the key. Lo, I am with you always. So this command is commonly called the Great Commission. We're just going to take a few minutes to look more closely, that we might better understand what's so great about it. So, if we can have the next slide and the first click. It's great in its authority. Those expecting a three-point sermon, you're going to be disappointed. There's 4 points, but we'll move on. Jesus, we're told, has been given all authority, not this bit, not restricted by that, all authority. He's given it as the creator. He was originally there right at the beginning of things. The Apostle Paul, writing in Colossians chapter 1, says this: for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. Jesus, there at creation, given all authority. He's also given all authority as our Redeemer. That's why he came, to redeem us, to bring us back to God. All authority, both in heaven and on earth. He now rules, we're told by Peter in 1 Peter 3:22, he rules in the heavenly realms. Jesus, who's gone into heaven and is at the Father's right hand, with angels, authorities, powers in submission to him. Jesus has all authority, and in Revelation we read that he rules over the kings of the earth. They've got a shock coming when they realize that. But it's with all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus, I think you'll agree, I hope you'll agree, deserves our obedience to him as Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. That's Peter telling the crowds there. And Jesus can deliver on his promises. He has all authority. So on that basis of his great authority, Jesus extends the Great Commission. As we continue, we're going to notice, we'll have point two, please. Took me ages to get those to move in the right order. Never mind. Great in its commission. Great in its mission. We've heard of one aspect of mission this morning. The disciples were to go out and make disciples. The King James Version says they're to teach. But the Greek word there means to make disciples, to make followers. They were to make learners, adherents, imitators of Jesus Christ. And we know, don't we, that Jesus had been inviting people to become his followers, his disciples. In Matthew 4:19, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. Not sure I like the way that put, but I will make you fishers of men. And Jesus also expected his disciples to become like him. In Luke 6:40, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. They were to make disciples. How were they to make disciples? Firstly, they were to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A baptism for the remission of their sins. A baptism in water, as Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. And that's signifying a burial of the old self and a rising to newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
So then, by teaching them to observe all that he commanded, baptism's only the beginning. I'm sure those of us who've been baptized perhaps at the time thought we've arrived, and then we start realizing how much we need to learn. Baptism, the beginning. Teaching needs to continue. Such was the case for the early disciples. Both baptism and ongoing teaching is essential for true discipleship. Perhaps you've met people who say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I don't read my Bible. We've got to be taught by the Lord Jesus. So, we can observe the Great Commission was great in its mission. And then the next one, great in its scope. What does Jesus say? It is for all nations. They were to go into all the world, whether that be Millbrook, Swadley, inner city Southampton, to the ends of the earth. They were to go into the world and preach to every creature. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15, says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. It's an interesting one. Something for you to think about. How do you preach to all of creation, not just men and women? They were to be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's repeated again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. To all nations, not just home base, back in Israel. They were to go to all nations, not just Israel. Back in Matthew chapter 10, we see what might be called a limited commission, where the disciples are sent out in pairs to go and preach around in Israel. But now they are to go to the Gentiles, to all nations, so that we could become fellow heirs with Jesus. So we need to know it's for all nations, not just our own. We pray for the work here. We pray for the work, street pastors and others here in Southampton. But Jesus wants us to think globally as well, not just locally. Praying for the world, for the work that goes on there. And as I was sitting there earlier, I was thinking, you know, we're called to go to all nations, but actually a lot of them would come to our doorstep. The large number of Chinese students in the university. I jokingly say, if you get on the U2 bus to the General Hospital, don't expect to hear English spoken. Depends on the time. But an opportunity. Margaret and I live in Burgess Road, as you know, and we have Far Eastern students living both sides of us. That wasn't the case 20, 30 years ago. So, we're to reach out to all nations, and that may mean doing it here, in our own place. And while we should be mindful of our local community, we should be thinking about those abroad. So finally, our last great is, great in its promise. That promise that we mentioned earlier and has been throughout. I am with you always, says Jesus. And don't we need to be reminded of that? Particularly when we're feeling at low, we're feeling alone, it's all coming on us. But it is a promise that Jesus made more than once. He'd made it earlier to his apostles in Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I with them. In the old version, I'm in the midst of them. The Lord Jesus is with us. And to those he talks about in John 14, who keep his commands, he promises to be with you and with me. And the times when we think he's not is when we've forgotten that. Let's hold on to that promise. It's a promise that similar to the one God gave to some of the Old Testament characters, to Moses, I will be with you, God said when he told him to go and preach to Pharaoh. I'll be with you. He said it to Joshua, Joshua 1, verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise made time and again to the children of Israel and to individuals like Moses and Joshua. It's a promise that Jesus repeats to you and to me, to his disciples then and to his disciples today. A promise that ought to provide you and I with much comfort when we feel oppressed. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say in confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? There we are. There's a text for a street pastor, isn't it? What can mere mortals do? We've heard how the Lord protects them. The Lord will be our protector if we're his helpers. And it goes on, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Even to the time when there'll be that great celebration that we sang about. The great harvest of souls into heaven, when the wicked will be separated from the just. Throughout the Christian age, Jesus will forever be with his disciples. He promised that to his disciples there in Galilee. He promises that to you and me time and again, today and for the future. As we go into the world making disciples. So then, the Great Commission, is it just limited to the apostles? No. The disciples were to observe all that I command you. What did Jesus command his apostles? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Future disciples were to observe that command. You and I are to observe that command. So the Great Commission is a commission to the church today, as much as it was to those disciples gathered around him. And we've got one question. Can we click the last one? Do we honour that Great Commission in our lives, in your life and mine? We do if we're submitting to the authority of Jesus. We do if we're working to make disciples for Jesus. We do if we're striving to make disciples in all the nations. Not that we all have to go running around, but that we support and pray for those working overseas, elsewhere. We do if we're abiding by his word, and thereby ensuring his abiding presence in our life. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Shortly after giving that great commission, Jesus, we're told, ascended into heaven. His earliest disciples took that commission and did great things with it. Just think how it grew. Well, may these words of Jesus motivate us to do great things in our service for him today. Amen. We close.